I want you to imagine just for a second, that you're standing in the middle of a roaring crowd.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
The energy in the crisp autumn air is, I mean, it's absolutely electric. The stakes feel incredibly high, and all eyes are focused intently on the competitors.
Right, but we aren't talking about a football game here.
No, exactly. It is not a heavyweight title fight, and it certainly isn't a horse race.
Yeah.
You are watching 1,000 racing
It
caterpillars.
is just such a phenomenal image to visualize.
It really is. And the winner of this highly contested race, well, they aren't just going to predict the region's winter weather. This exact event and the massive crowd it draws is simultaneously acting as a multi-million dollar real estate indicator for an entire town.
Yeah, you have this tiny fuzzy insect essentially holding the entire economic, logistical, and, well, meteorological weight of a community right on its back.
It's wild when you step back and look at it. So, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are heading up into the mountains, specifically to Banner Elk, North Carolina.
We're really fascinating market right now.
Absolutely. We are unpacking a highly detailed 2026 market analysis from Teresa Overcash. She's a veteran North Carolina real estate broker, bringing 30 years of hard-on market experience to the table.
30 years is a lot of data to pull from.
Yeah, and our mission for this deep dive is to explore a truly quirky local tradition, the 49th Annual Woolly Worm Festival. We're going to explore everything there is to do there, discover how this single weekend event supports local kids in a massive way, and reveal how a simple caterpillar race secretly drives the complex, high-stakes real estate market of the region.
It's quite the intersection of culture and capital.
Okay, let's unpack this. I mean, how on earth does a caterpillar on a string become a major regional draw that dictates millions of dollars in property value?
Well, the grassroots origin is crucial to understand, because it's rooted in pure, authentic local culture. You really can't manufacture this kind of appeal in a boardroom.
Right, it has to happen naturally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The festival dates back to 1978. A local resident named Jim Morton started the whole concept using just a single blade of grass to raise a caterpillar.
Wait, literally a blade of grass.
Just a blade of grass. And fast forward to today specifically, October 17th and 18th, 2026, and you're looking at the 49th annual edition.
Wow.
It has grown with such momentum that actually since 2018, it has held the official legislated state designation as the North Carolina Woolly Worm Festival.
Going from a single blade of grass in 1978 to an officially recognized state festival is some serious organic growth. But, if you are visiting, what does that actually look like on the ground? Because you can't just be standing around staring at bugs for 48 hours straight.
Right, you definitely aren't just staring at bugs. The festival has evolved into this massive cultural celebration and really an economic hub for the entire High Country region.
So, what's actually going on when you walk
When
in?
you walk through the gates, you can browse anywhere from 100 to 160 vendor booths.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
It is. We are talking high quality local crafts, regional food, and local businesses setting up shop to capture this massive foot traffic.
Yeah.
You get this incredibly dense, vibrant marketplace that feels like a cross between a county fair and a massive artisan market.
That sounds amazing. But inevitably, the main event remains the caterpillar races, right?
Or absolutely. The races are the heart of it.
Because the mechanics of it sound so fascinating. I mean, it sounds like a miniature, fuzzy Kentucky Derby, but crossed with Groundhog Day.
That is probably the best way to describe it, yeah.
You literally have around 1,000 caterpillars racing up strings throughout the weekend. And the winning worm, the fastest caterpillar to reach the top, is granted the official honor of predicting the winter weather forecast for the North Carolina High Country.
And the local lore behind that prediction is just brilliant in its simplicity.
How does it actually work? I mean, how does a bug predict the weather?
Well, the tradition dictates that the 13 colored bands on the winning woolly worm correspond to the upcoming 13 weeks of winter weather. So brown bands mean mild weeks, and black bands mean severe cold and snow.
Oh, I see. That's a deeply charming tradition.
It really is. But beneath that folksy charm is a highly organized, highly effective community operation. The entire event is hosted right in the center of town on the historic Banner Elk Elementary School green at 185 Azalea Circle.
Right in the middle of everything.
Exactly. And it's co-hosted by the Avery County Chamber of Commerce and the Banner Elk Kiwanis Club.
Which brings up a good point. If you're wondering how this isn't just some, corporate cash grab taking advantage of tourists, the admission fees tell the whole story.
They really do.
It is incredibly affordable to get in. We are talking $10 for adults, $5 for kids aged 6 to 12, and kids under 5 get in completely free.
Which is practically unheard of for a festival this size.
Right. But the part that really grounds this entire event is where that money goes. Every single dollar that admission fee goes directly back into Avery County youth programs.
What's fascinating here is the sheer scale of the charitable impact when you stretch it over a timeline of decades.
It's massive.
It is. When you combine a low barrier to entry with a highly anticipated annual event, the compound effect is staggering. Over the last 40 years, this quirky, inexpensive festival have raised more than $1.4 million for local children.
$1.4 million.
Yeah, that is a massive wealth transfer from regional tourism directly into local schools and youth infrastructure.
Funded entirely by Caterpillars. It defies logic in the best way possible.
It really does.
But, injecting that kind of capital requires moving a massive amount of humanity, which creates a logistical reality that is hard to even conceptualize.
Oh, the logistics are a nightmare.
I mean, the normal everyday population of Banner Elk is about 1,500 people, but during this specific two-day festival, the town swells to a staggering 21,500 people.
It's an explosion.
And I have to push back on this a little bit. How does a mountain town of 1,500 physically handle 20,000 extra visitors without the local infrastructure, the plumbing, the roads, just completely collapsing under the weight?
Well, you're touching on the exact friction point that transforms this from a fun local weekend into a hardcore economic indicator.
Right.
The short answer is it stretches the town to its absolute limit. Highway 184, which is the main artery in and out of the village, slows to an absolute crawl.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, you have people parking wherever they can legally fit a vehicle. Every single restaurant is booked out, turning tables as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah.
The town is literally bursting at the seams.
But they don't break.
No, they manage it.
Yeah.
Because they have been refining this process for 49 years, the operational muscle memory is deeply embedded in the local government and local businesses.
So they survive the weekend, the kids get funded, the local businesses hit their revenue goals, and the winning worm makes its weather prediction.
Exactly. Everyone goes home happy.
But as an investor analyzing this market, here's where it gets really interesting. Teresa Overcash argues in her market analysis that this exact weekend of intense infrastructural stress is actually the ultimate income indicator for the short-term rental or STR market.
Yes.
But why? I mean, why does seeing an overflowing parking lot and bumper-to-bumper traffic matter so much to someone looking to close on a $600,000 piece of real estate?
This raises an important question, right? So over a year, that yields an average annual revenue of roughly $26,800 per property.
That is a very healthy baseline. I mean, you can plug those numbers into a financial model, calculate your mortgage, your taxes, and your maintenance, and feel pretty confident about your real estate investment.
A spreadsheet is just theory, though. What the Woolly Worm Festival provides is cold, hard reality.
Right.
During this specific October weekend, those baseline numbers absolutely explode.
Mm.
Mid-tier properties that normally sit at $342 suddenly charge between $420 and $500 a night.
Wow, so that's a huge bump.
The 40 to 60% premium over the annual baseline. Mm. And the occupancy rate. It leaps from that comfortable 42% average up to the 70 to 85% range across the entire market.
So if you are a strategic real estate broker, you don't just email a prospective buyer a spreadsheet with those inflated October numbers and hope they believe you. You specifically advise your buyers to fly in and tour properties during Woolly Worm weekend.
Exactly. Because what is an investor actually looking for when they walk through a property? They aren't just checking the quality of the kitchen countertops or looking at the view from the deck.
They want to know they'll make money.
Right. They are desperate for market validation. This is the one weekend of the year where a buyer can walk out of a showing, look at the literal gridlock on Highway 184, see the crowd spilling out of the restaurants, and instantly know that the aggressive short-term rental income the agent is quoting them is absolutely real.
You just can't fake that level of market energy.
No, you can't.
It is the ultimate show don't tell sales tactic. You are literally standing in the middle of your future customer base. It makes perfect sense. You need to see the demand with your own eyes. You need to feel the scarcity of available lodging before you sign a massive mortgage.
Absolutely.
And it's important to note that if you do buy in, This isn't some unregulated Wild West where investors can just buy up the town and do whatever they want. Banner Elk has implemented very specific rules for these rentals.
Yeah, they've been very smart about it. You have to obtain a $300 permit. There's a strict maximum of 10 guests per property. And crucially, you are required to have a responsible party living within 20 miles who can respond to any property issues within 45 minutes.
Those regulations are a brilliant defense mechanism.
How so?
Well, they ensure the town doesn't lose its residential character or get, you know, hollowed out by absent corporate landlords, while still allowing the community to capitalize on the economic engine of short-term rentals. It forces a rigid level of local accountability.
That makes a lot of sense.
But to truly understand why the Woolly Worm Festival is so incredibly profitable for these property owners, we have to look beyond the festival itself. We have to look at the geographic coincidence of the calendar.
Yes, the environmental factors. Because when you dig into the market analysis, it becomes very clear that the festival's massive profitability isn't just because 20,000 people really, really love racing caterpillars.
Right, there's more to it. It's because the festival dates perfectly align with peak fall foliage. And foliage season is a massive economic driver. It accounts for 15 to 20% of the total annual short-term rental demand for the entire town, but it is compressed into a tiny window of just about 3 weeks.
And that compression creates immense scarcity, which drives up the pricing. And this is where the science of timing and elevation completely dictates a property's revenue potential.
Elevation.
Yeah. Fall color in the high country doesn't just happen everywhere all at once. It's an elevation-driven cascade.
Okay, let me make sure I have the mechanics of this right because it's fascinating. The colder air hits the absolute highest peaks of the mountains first, which triggers the leaves to change color.
Correct.
And then as the season progresses, that band of peak color slowly rolls downhill into the valleys over a period of about 3 weeks.
That is the exact mechanism. And the altitude numbers dictate everything. Above 5,000 feet, so we were talking about places like Grandfather Mountain, which towers at 5,946 feet, or Beach Mountain at 5,506 feet. The leaves hit their absolute peak color very early in the month.
Like when, exactly?
Usually between October 1st and October 7th.
But Banner Elk Village, where the festival is held, sits in the valley below those peaks, right?
Correct. Banner Elk Village sits at an elevation of exactly 3,739 feet. Because it is substantially lower than the surrounding peaks, the freezing temperatures arise later, meaning the peak fall color arrives later.
Okay. Tracking.
In the village, peak foliage specifically hits between October 15th and October 21st.
And the 49th annual Woolly Worm Festival is scheduled for October 17th and 18th.
It lands dead center on the village's peak color window.
Oh, wow.
It is a masterclass in timing. The town is literally glowing in peak gold and red foliage right at the exact moment 20,000 people arrive to watch caterpillars race.
That is incredible.
This collision of a major culturally significant event with peak natural beauty is what drives those nightly rental rates into the stratosphere. Properties that are perfectly positioned to capture this foliage overlap can see nightly rate premiums anywhere from 40% all the way up to 130% over their baseline.
You are literally playing 3D chess with trees and real estate. Your y-axis is your property's elevation on the mountain. Your x-axis is the date on the calendar. And if you miscalculate where they intersect, you lose out on thousands of dollars in premium rent.
Exactly. It's highly technical.
Which leads me to a strategic question. If the fall foliage cascades from the top of the mountain down into the valley, wait. If you are an investor and you buy a beautiful, expensive, higher elevation property, say up at 4,500 feet or higher, do you actually miss out on the peak Woolly Worm Festival rental overlap?
You're asking the right question.
Because by the time the festival happens on the 17th, the leaves up at your expensive mountain house have already died and fallen off the trees.
You've zeroed in on the exact nuance that separates a good real estate investor from a great one in this market.
Okay.
Yes. If you buy a property above 4,500 feet, your peak color hits in those first 2 weeks of October. By the time Woolly Worm Weekend arrives and those 20,000 people flood the town, you are on the tail end of your specific foliage window. The trees around your property might be completely bare.
Wow.
Now, you still get heavy rental demand from the festival overflow, of course, because people just need places to sleep. But you do not get the combined compounding premium of festival plus peak color that a property located down in the village gets. Your entire two-week rental income cycle is completely dictated by the specific elevation of the dirt you close on.
That is incredible to think about. You could literally buy a house a mile up the road, just at a slightly higher altitude, and completely alter the financial dynamics of your most profitable month.
It really underscores why understanding hyperlocal data is so critical.
Right. You can't just look at a countywide average and assume it applies to your specific cabin.
No, not at all. Avery County is a very small market. In an average month, they might only see 30 to 50 residential property closings. Because that sample size is so incredibly small, the median prices can swing wildly from month to month just based on whether a few luxury golf course homes sold or a few modest weekend condos happen to close.
Which is why the market analysis notes that Banner Elk isn't just one monolithic market. It is actually at least four distinct micro-markets operating simultaneously.
Right.
You have your full-time residential homes sitting in the $300,000 range. You have weekend getaway homes in the $500,000 to $700,000 tier. You have luxury gated golf community homes well over $1 million. And finally, you have the ski-in, ski-out resort condos.
And that variety is key.
And that brings up the glaring risk of this entire strategy. If 15% to 20% of your annual short-term rental demand hinges on just 3 weeks of fall leaves and a caterpillar festival, what happens in November when the trees are completely bare and the tourists leave?
That's the million-dollar question.
Does the town's economy just collapse for the next 6 months? So what does this all mean for the long-term viability of these investments?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the beauty of the Banner Elk market is that Woolly Worm Weekend is merely the first peak in a very unique dual peak revenue pattern.
Dual peak.
Yes, the town doesn't go to sleep when the leaves fall. About 6 weeks after the festival wraps up and the vendors go home, the ski season begins.
And Banner Elk is geographically privileged in this regard. The data points out that it is the only town in North Carolina located within a 5-mile radius of two entirely different ski areas.
A massive advantage.
You have Sugar Mountain, which is a powerhouse. Last season, they saw 69.5 inches of natural snow and managed to stay open for 129 skier days. And just down the road, you have Beach Mountain, which holds the title of the highest ski area east of the Mississippi River.
That 5-mile proximity to two major resorts is everything. For most real estate markets along the Blue Ridge Parkway, once the fall leaves drop in late October, the tourism economy essentially collapses until spring.
Right, they just hibernate.
But in Banner Elk, the ski season kicks in immediately and drives 35% to 40% of their total annual visitor volume. When you securely layer that heavy winter volume on top of the 15% to 20% generated by the fall foliage, you create a highly resilient, multi-season economy that isn't dependent on just one demographic.
I see exactly how the logistics connect now, because the market analysis explicitly ties these seasons together.
Right.
The Woolly Worm Festival isn't just a massive revenue driver for October. It acts as a live, high-stakes stress test for the winter ski season.
Exactly.
If the town's infrastructure can smoothly handle 20,000 festival visitors, keep the highway traffic moving, and keep the restaurants adequately staffed during the chaos of October, it mathematically proves to a real estate investor that the local infrastructure is robust enough to handle the massive winter crowds during peak times, like President's Day weekend.
The operational muscles the town government and local businesses flex in October are the exact same muscles they rely on in January and February.
That makes perfect sense.
If they can efficiently move that volume of people for a caterpillar race in the fall, a smart investor knows they can move them for a powder day on the slopes in the winter. It completely de-risks the winter income projections for anyone buying a property.
It is a brilliant ecosystem when you break down the causality of it all. What started in 1978 with a local guy, a blade of grass, and a fuzzy insect has evolved into this massive economic linchpin.
It really is an amazing story.
For the kids in Avery County, it translates to $1.4 million in vital youth funding over the years. But for the real estate market, it operates as the ultimate proof of concept. It demonstrates peak short-term rental income limits. It perfectly aligns with the highly specific, elevation-driven fall foliage window, and it proves the town's logistical readiness for the massive ski season waiting just around the corner.
It perfectly illustrates how deeply intertwined local culture and hard economics really are. You cannot separate the charm of a small-town festival from the hard data on an investor's spreadsheet. The culture generates the data, and the data sustains the community.
So, for you listening, whether you are analyzing a real estate market, researching an industry, or just trying to understand the hidden dynamics of a new community, look for the woolly worms.
Oh, good advice.
Look for those hyper-local, seemingly quirky traditions that actually act as the hidden economic engines of the area. It forces you to look beyond the surface and ask, What stands out to you about how local culture actively shapes hard economics?
It is a phenomenal reminder that economic data doesn't just spontaneously generate in a vacuum. It is created by people and sometimes weather-predicting caterpillars gathering together in very specific geographical places for very specific reasons.
Absolutely. Which leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over as we wrap up. If a fuzzy caterpillar predicting the weather can secretly dictate the multi-million dollar short-term rental investment strategy of an entire mountain town, what other seemingly silly, quirky local traditions across the world are secretly driving millions of dollars in hidden economic value? Next time you see a small town festival, you might just be looking at the most powerful real estate indicator in the region.